بسم الله. السلام عليكم. I like singing, so I wanted them to sing. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور. ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجلا وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون. وهو الله في السماوات وفي الأرض يعلم سركم وجهركم ويعلم ما تكسبون. وما ظن الذين يفترون على الله الكذب يوم القيامة. إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثرهم لا يشكرون. وكأي من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها وهم عنها معرضون. قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى. ولا تجهر بصلاتك ولا تخافت بها وابتغ بين ذلك سبيلا. وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وسبحان الله العظيم وتعالى بكرة وأصيلا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت، بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأكرم وأنعم وتفضل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد بصلاة لم يصلي بمثلها مخلوق، صلاة تجل عن الصلوات، تفوق صلاة المصلين عليه في الأرضين والسماوات، ننفرد بها في الدنيا ونفوز بها بعد الممات، صلاة تقربنا بها منك إليك، تجعلنا بها يا ربنا من أقرب الأقربين إليك ومن أحب المحبوبين لديك يا رب العالمين، وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه واصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, it gives me great pleasure that you are here tonight to celebrate the coming of one of the greatest men ever to walk on this earth, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 570 years after the birth of Jesus, son of Mary, may the blessing of Allah be upon him, Allah wanted to change the world, or God wanted to change the world. For every time God sent a messenger, there was for the purpose of uniting people. When we say God is one, the ideal of that is for us, the humans, who are supposed to be the cream of the creation of God, that we should unite together in purpose and live together in peace and strive together to build this earth, to make it easier for us to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. Meaning to establish the rule of justice so that people can live equally in dignity and in tranquility. But 570 years after Jesus, son of Mary, was born, peace and blessing be upon him, people were returning back to ways of being selfish, self-centered, and full of egos. No man was left in peace. No community was left to thrive and achieve success. Everybody was fighting, everybody was killing, everybody was rushing out of his home to achieve for himself. And everybody was saying, I. To the extent, some of them claims to be God, like what we have today. Some of them were saying there is nobody better than them. Others said, we are the chosen people of God, and therefore we have to rule upon people whether they like it or not. In the little area where the Arab used to live, in the most important of shrines where Ibrahim alayhi salam has built and raised the house of God, women used to dance around that house naked. Men used to get drunk. Women were sold in the market like property. They had no value. A man has everything and women had nothing. Yet, the poor man was sold in the market as a slave. It doesn't matter what color, what nationality. In Arabia, there were Persians who were sold. There were Romans who were sold. There were Africans who were sold. There were Indians. Depending upon how strong you are and what can you achieve for your master. The saddest thing to me, this practice is still taking place today. And in the greatest nation on this earth, as we think, the land of freedom, the land of dignity, the land of hope and opportunity, until the 70s. If you are in America, you are a slave. A man like me can't walk in the street freely. Can't ride the same bus with somebody in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, or Rhodesia at that time. No civilization man can ever claim whereby man was treated without dignity and put down. God says in the Holy Quran, وَلَغَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Indeed, we have honored the children of Adam. No man has the right to demean anybody. You are born free. No bondage. This earth is belonging to God. Nobody should own anything in it. We should share it. We should save it. Not for us, but for those who will come after us. However, this practice only takes a little time and then it goes back. In the year 570, one of the kings who were very evil, who was ruling Yemen on the part of Abyssinia, called Abraha, wanted to destroy the house of God. For what? Because he realized everybody is traveling there for business. That area was thriving. There is nothing but rocks. Nothing is growing. There is nothing you can have. No business opportunity. He has everything, but yet nobody is coming to him. So he decided to buy them out. They refused. When they refused, he came so that he can destroy the house of God. At that time, the grandfather of the Prophet to be Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the chief of the tribe of Arabia Quraysh. So when Abraha came with his army, he sent an envoy to him. And he noticed too many camels outside. He said to his soldiers, capture them. His envoy traveled into the city and met the head of Quraysh, Abu Talib, or Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet and said to him, my king would like to have a meeting with you. Otherwise, he will come and destroy the Kaaba, the house of God. Already somebody came to him and said to him, your camel have been stolen by a king who is camping outside. So he was inspired to say to him, in our land, no king is described as a thief. The man you are describing as a king is not a king because he has stolen my camel. And go back to him and tell him, this land doesn't belong to me. Especially the house of God, it belongs to God. If he wants to destroy it, he is welcome to it. But as far as my faith, for the house, there is a Lord that will protect it. The envoy went back. Abraha, in arrogance, said to him, what did he say? He told him, a king cannot steal. You stole his camel, he said. The guarding the house, welcome to destroy it. For he believed there is a Lord that will save it, inshallah. Or God willing. The king immediately said, leave his camels. I'm not a thief. And drive your elephant and destroy the house. The moment we are driving those elephants to destroy the house of God, from the heaven came stones from the hellfire. And they were destroying the elephant and everybody who was carried in them. The Quran described this in a very beautiful chapter called Surah Al-Fil. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabi al-fil. Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. Haven't you seen the people of the elephant? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, dealt with them? Allah has sent to them birds called Ababil, carrying little stones made of fire called Sijil. And Allah allowed them to throw those little stones or pebbles on them. And they were destroyed. Like a field that was giving yield, but before it was taken away for profit, it was destroyed. This was the station or the state of those people at that time. That year is called the year of the elephant, where God, by the faith of those people who believed in him, the house was saved. That year, the final prophet of God and the seal of messengers to the earth was sent in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His mother carried him for 9 months. And she's been seeing a lot of dreams, telling her. فَإِذَا وَضَعْتِهِ فَسَمِيهِ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّهُ سَتُحْمَدُ عُقْبًا. If you gave birth to him, O Amina, name him the praised one. For indeed, his end will be praised. A little they know at that time, in the 21st century or 20th century, the people who are living a life of wars and fighting and discrimination and destruction of the land we live in, when they choose the greatest man ever to live and lead a man community in this world, will be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what's happening now. Everybody knows that. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in a community whereby men were having a lot of evil in them. They did nothing but evil, even in his own family. So when he was growing up young, he was seeing all those things. Animal was mistreated, beaten up, killed if they cannot produce. Women were beaten up and buried alive because of shame. And unfortunately, it is happening today. In some countries, if a mother knows that she's carrying a child, baby, girl, she will go and not think of anything wrong when she will take out that child and destroy that child. Why? Because she's a girl. Why? Because she's not good. She's going to bring shame on the family. What shame? Isn't the one who was carrying her woman herself? Isn't she? How could she have in her heart such a feeling? She's a woman destroying a woman. But the men are to blame too. I'm not thinking 1400 years ago, I'm thinking now. Because if you can not relate the history of what happened yesterday to today's life, it has no meaning, no value. What have we learned? Why all those messengers? Why all those messages? To be honest with you, some of us living today are living a worse life than those who lived 2000 years ago, 5000 years ago. The Pharaohs did evil things. Moses came to save Bani Israel, the children of Israel, but there are Pharaohs living today. The Romans were killing and destroying everyone who believed in God. Jesus Christ, son of Mary, was sent to relieve those people who were suffering. But still there are people today destroying people because of their race or color. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a mercy to the world to bring unity among mankind, but still we are yet to believe in one thing that those messengers have brought. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a miracle of God, he walked only in 5 months. And he talked only in 9 months. And everybody around him noticed this child is a special child. Because he was not a normal human being. He was a special being. He said one day, when he grew older, to the angel, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, O Jibreel, whom did your Lord Almighty God create first? He said, O Muhammad, peace be upon you, I don't know really whom Allah created first. But above the throne, there is a star that shines every 70,000 years once. And I, Jibreel, have seen it 70,000 times. That is almost 5 billion years. 4,900 years. There is a star that shines above the throne of God every 70,000 years once. And I have seen it 70,000 times. He said, O Jibreel, do you know what star was it? What is it called? He said, I don't know. He said, that is my light. That was the very thing God has created. And from that, all other spirits were created. And that spirit was put in Adam when he was made from mud. And then he became the human he is that we are today. That's why we are honored, not because of these bodies. If the honoring we have because of these bodies, it's not honoring. Because there are better animals in physical terms than us. There are bigger animals, more faster animals, more better inside. The dog, whom we humiliate, is better than us in smell. Some little creatures that live underground, better than us when inside. They could see in the dark. We can't see in the dark. Some they can hear from distance. We can't hear. When there is an earthquake, it will destroy us, but the animals will run away because they have senses. So it's not by comparison of physical bodies, it is by the spirit within us. When the angels were asked to prostrate to Adam, they were prostrating for the spirit of God within Adam. We are not God. And there are some who think like that. No. Some think we are a part of God. No. We are humans. We eat and drink and sleep. We're like all other creatures. But the only thing that makes us special is the spirit. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that spirit. Allah said in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد جاءكم من الله نور. He has come to you from Allah, a light. One day he said to Jabir, oh Jabir, the companion, who created Allah first? He said, Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and his messenger knows best. He said, Nur Nabiika Jabir, the light of your prophet, oh Jabir. The light of your prophet. So that light of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we all have a part of it, which makes us different. When you are dishonoring yourself, you are putting yourself down, is when you are going against your nature. Your nature is not to kill, but yet we kill. Your nature is not to get drunk and then humiliate people around you. Rape a woman, molester a child, go out and abuse somebody, and then we say, well, I was just having fun. What kind of fun is that? It's not fun. When somebody is humiliating you, taking advantage of you. And yet, we go away from the law of God, we make our own laws, and we don't know how to manage them. And every time we change them according to our own selfish needs. Even in democracy. If the Labour government now have laws that when the Conservative come, they don't like them, they'll move them away. Make their own laws. And that is sad, because at the end of the day, nobody is benefiting from them. Nobody is gaining anything. There are natural laws that the Creator Almighty God gave to us to make us live a life of dignity on this earth. We are living here, look at us, comfortable, sitting in a comfortable place, having everything in one of the greatest institutions of knowledge in the world, but yet there are people in the third world, they don't even have something to eat to survive. Some of them, they don't even have water to drink. And yet, we study, we think, we invent what? That we should destroy them and kill them. Today, you hear in Germany, what's happening in Germany? 60 people were killed by a student of knowledge. What for? Who invented those guns? We did. Because we are selfish, self-centered. We are always here to kill. When Adam was to be created, the Malaika said, why are you creating him, O God? He will be and his children is spilling blood and creating evil on the earth. He said, I know that which you don't know. Because God knows from Adam they will come good people. And I believe there are always good people. And the prophets are good people. Adam was a good man. Idris was a good man. Hud was a good man. Salih was a good man. And you come to Ibrahim and his children, Nuh and his children, and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are good men. And there are good women. Such as the wife of the Pharaoh who looked at her Moses. Such as Mary, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. These are good people. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khadija. But what example are we taking from them? Who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who is this man? Who is this life? The Quran tells us, Muhammadur Rasulullah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Muhammad is the messenger of God. And those who were around him or with him were tough against evil. They will never stand for it. They will fight it. But yet, among themselves, they were merciful. They were gentle. They were kind. They were merciful to everyone and to everything. In another place, the Quran Allah said, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. Muhammad was never the father of one of your men. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. But the messenger of Allah. وَخَاتِمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. And the seal of prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Muhammad, we have not sent you only as mercy to the world. We who follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we talk about Muhammad as mercy. But look at our state today. What mercy do we have among ourselves? What mercy? Look at Iraq. Muslims are killing Muslims. Look at Afghanistan. Muslims are killing Muslims. Look at Pakistan. Muslims are killing Muslims. Look at Darfur. Muslims are killing Muslims. And here they stand and say Islam is peace. Islam is not peace. Islam is not peace. It doesn't mean peace. Islam means the way to peace. And peace is God Almighty. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, told us, when you pray, you open the door to God. then ask him to come to him peace. Allahumma anta salam. Oh Allah, you are the peace. Wa minka salam, and from you come the peace. Wa ilayka yarji'u salam, and to you retain the peace. Allow us to live in this world a life of peace. فَحَيِّنَا يَا رَبَّنَا بِالسَّلَامِ. And in the day of judgment, greet us with your greeting of peace. وَدْخِنَّا الْجَنَّةِ دَارَكَ دَارَ السَّلَامِ. And allow us to enter your garden, the garden of peace. Therefore, Islam is the way to peace. God is peace. And we are striving to live our life according to his teaching in peace. And the prophets, all of them, brought that message. But unfortunately, today the world is ruled by people who believe that God does not exist. And the laws that are put in the name of God are made by men who are evil, because their only aim to create havoc on the earth by encouraging people to kill one another. La wallahi, this is false. It's not true. Always there is war in this world is for only two reasons: having a seat of power or having wealth. The Romans came to this country not because to spread religion. They came to take the goodness of this country. The British left this country and went to India, not to bring religion to India, but to take the good of India. The Egyptian went to Europe, not to bring religion to Europe, but Cleopatra wanted the goods of Europe. My own people went to Arabia, not to take from Arabia or to give Arabia anything, but to take the goodness of Arabia. We fight for that. But we don't want to admit it. Even today, whether you put orders or no orders, everybody is fighting for a strategic plan for the future for themselves. But none of them knows. Above them, there is one who is most supreme. Allah Almighty God. You do, and he does what is better. But unfortunately, we don't see that. The poor people suffer, but in the day of judgment, they will gain. We who have knowledge, we think we are intellectual, we are civilized, we do all the evil, and we hope to go to the best place in the hereafter. And I promise you, we will be the last to go there. Not my word, but the word of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who grew and saw all this evil. So men were sold in the market, women were humiliated in the marketplace, people were doing evil. He said, this is not where human should live. He used to go and seclude himself in a cave called the cave of Hira, seeking guidance, crying and praying like Ibrahim alayhi salam used to do, asking God, please show me a way. Ibrahim came and destroyed the idols. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited until Jibreel came to him. He was about 40 years old, and he revealed to him, Iqra, read. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. He created man from a clot of blood. When did we understood, as people of knowledge and intellect, the creation of man? 1400 years ago it is written in the Quran. Today, you are studying in university, maybe a few hundred years back, somebody discovered this. No, it's not discovered today or yesterday. From the beginning of time, we are not the only scholars, we are not the only civilization. We are not the only civilized people. Because today we have computers, we are the best. No, you don't know what happened in the past. Maybe there are people who traveled and went to the end of the world. But we don't know. We are beginning from the beginning. If the civilization we have now is destroyed, don't think it is finished. Somebody else will come and start something else. Because God is there. This earth will remain until he decides otherwise. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught to go out and teach people. Let them learn and understand. Not to learn to discover things to destroy. Not to learn to compete to do evil. To humiliate people and disgrace them and put them down. But to give them honor, give them dignity. When you go to school, I'm a teacher by profession. We are taught, speak to the children according to their level. Kneel in front of them. Talk to them kindly. Praise them. Encourage them. Don't call them name. Don't touch them. Don't push them. Make them feel comfortable. Understand their background. And then you will learn something. Because by benefiting them, they will become someone who will leave a legacy from which you will learn something for yourself and benefit for yourself. Islam taught us to do that. Islam taught us to be good to one another, to be kind to one another. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq." I was only sent to complete the best of behavior in mankind. I was only sent to complete the best of behavior in mankind. And in another hadith or saying, he said, "Innama bu'ithtu mu'allima." I was only sent as a teacher. I was only sent as a teacher. Today, when you ask him, "Would you like to be a teacher?" It's a humiliating job. Why? Because children will fight you, push you, kick you, and you are not paid well. Nobody wants to be a teacher. I ask all my children, who wants to be a teacher? Everybody says, who wants to be a doctor? Because it is valued by money. In fact, in our countries, when somebody come and ask for a hand of a girl in marriage, what is his job? If you say a doctor, an engineer, an accountant, a lawyer, an officer in the army, oh, Allahu Akbar. The big door will open. If you say the teacher, they say, talk to us another time, please. So if you go to Arabia, you want a wife, don't ask if you are a teacher. You'll be disgraced. Seriously, this is the honest truth. Because they think of the means. What is he going to bring to us? And this is the reality. And I'm going to tell the women here, they should not, even those who are sitting here intellectual, if they are sitting somewhere, a lady will come showing her last watch, Gucci. Oh, what is it? Oh, my husband broke it yesterday. You go home, your wife will throw the tea for you like that. What's wrong? Nothing is wrong. She is so upset because her friend got a Gucci and she got nothing and she wants a teacup. You have no shame. You should learn something. When your wife is mistreating you at home, not because she's unhappy with you, she married you, she loves you, but because you're not giving her what she wants. But men don't understand. Oh, what a terrible wife. He goes and play with his friend and come back and she's more angry. So we don't learn. We don't learn anything. The message of the messengers has come to us to make us human. Religion is something that God gave to us to make us human. What is religion? What is religion? Religion is not really Buddhism, Hinduism. No. Religion is submission to the law of God. Realizing who you are, where you come from, what are you doing here, where you are going next. Knowing that as a human being, when the Creator created you, He is the only one who has that which will make you tick. Just like a manufacturer. When you manufacture anything, inside you'll find the manual. If no manual, you cannot work it out. How to work it? How to look after it? How to service it? When to service it? All those things. The same thing for this body. We are so naive. We think we can make this, and then we need every information and training and knowledge for it. This little dust. What is it made from? From the dust. The only equal thing with us is our bodies and this is the same. They all come from the earth. Everything on this earth is from the earth, except for your spirit. It comes from above. Everything else, once it is destroyed, it becomes dust. Where are the people who live before us? Where is their tools? It's all underground. It's finished. So we need to think wisely. We shouldn't care too much about the physical body. Look at us. We spend billions in makeup, in looking good, in surgery, and we look at our physical bodies, we want to make them more perfect to live longer, but nobody's going to live longer. Maybe you live for 100 years, but you're going to die, whether you like it or not. If by money, the richest men in this world will live the longest. But believe me, some of them, they die the earliest. The poorest people live the longest. Because they have got nothing to worry them. But we are too much full of pain and worries. My brothers and sisters, please, let us honor ourselves and think a little bit of what is religion. Religion is, as I said, submission to the law of God. But then, in order that submission can become true, we must strive. Life is to struggle. One day you are up, one day you are down. But always realize, you must get up and do your duty. You can't go to your university, your college, your workplace, and do the job in 1 or 2 days and say, well, I don't like it. I have to move to another job. Why? Because I don't like the environment. You can't work like that. Oh, it's too hard. You have to stick it. Those who work like this, they will never work anything. You have to stick it as much as you can and work hard. And if you want to be promoted, prove to your bosses that you are sincere in your job and you are doing it without any wanting from them. You're just doing it because you love your job. Then they will promote you. If you want a bonus, then work hard. You'll get a bonus. So the end of religion is when the Creator will lift you to understand. I promise you, the man who invented this from the dust, he can maybe use this camera to see things, maybe he can send messages from here to far distances, but the eyes and the ears can see further and they can hear further. In the olden days, they used to. This is a reality. I have a mother who passed away only 4 or 5 years ago. She used to sit in my canteen and say to me, if I want to talk to you, I don't need to call you by phone. I can call you like this from here. I had a teacher who used to teach me, said, if you want to ask me a question, there's no telephone to ring me. Just go to an empty land and read this statement and talk to me. I'll hear you. And I used to go and I will get my answer. How did he used to hear? Because these ears, God created them. The creator who created this, God created him. So who is the better creator? God or the man who invented this? God, of course. The prophet, peace be upon him, and all the other prophets used to have powers. They used to do things, real things. But our job today is to remove ourselves from all that which is evil, to become really religious people. A religious person is a man who stands for justice, a man who will look down to those who are oppressed and give them a hand and lift them up, help the needy, wipe away the dirt of the unable one to help himself, treat the sick and be with them and carry them and be able to help them and show them mercy. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, as a mercy to the world, went through a lot of difficulties. I'll just tell you some example of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, he lived in Mecca, he came out to those people, he told them about the message, about the peace that they need to have, about the unity among themselves. Nobody was listening. They started beating his people, they started killing some of them. Then he said, look, I should save some of them. He sent some of them to the land where I come from. 11 men and 4 women and few children, they came to that land to save themselves. But yet, the evil men there, they don't want them to go there. They sent men after them. When they came to our ancestors, they said, we want them back. They asked, have they killed anybody? No. Have they stole from anybody? No. Have they done any criminal activity? No. Why do you want them? Because they are telling us that there is one God only, and we have many gods. So what's wrong with that? You believe in many gods, they believe in one God. No, we want them back to destroy them. Because too many people are following them, and because they were saying the right thing. No slavery, no humiliation for any human being, no deprivation for women, no killing of little innocent girls. And they didn't like that. Even today in the world, those who are fighting for justice for the poor and going out and demonstrating, what happened to them by the police? They beat them up. They're not doing anything wrong. They're just saying, please help the poor, help the needy, help the sick. People are dying in Africa from AIDS, and we are fighting here because there is a financial crash. What crash? I'm not feeling it. We're all getting our salary, we're eating. Look, we're having fun. Crash, what crash? We're living. There are people dying for goodness sake. Where is your humanity? Where is your mercy? We say Jesus was the most kindest man. If he was, why aren't we as kind as him? Muhammad was the most merciful. Why aren't we as merciful as him? We just talk slogans. We do nothing, like politicians. Promise the world and give nothing. This is really sad place to be in. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, his people who went to Abyssinia became more, over 80. But then he had to escape from Mecca to Medina. He had to escape from Mecca to Medina. When he escaped and went to this city called Medina where he's buried today, there were two tribes, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. They were fighting one another for 500 years. You know what for? For a horse. For a horse. And we're doing the same thing. We're fighting today for oil, for uranium. We're fighting for precious metals. Look at countries like Namibia, one of the richest countries in the world. Look at how the people are living. Can you imagine a country like Iraq? One of the richest countries. Look at how the people are living. Like dogs. What is this? We shouldn't accept it. Seriously. Stand away from the politics of the politician, but say, as a person who wants to live with dignity, anybody should be allowed their own freedom. We should not interfere in people's life. We should let them live. If there is somebody doing wrong, we should stand with the right and help the wrong. But in many cases, we help the wrong. We shouldn't do that. We should be very careful. When he came to Medina, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both tribes wanted his message. Both of them want to welcome him, but they stood in the side of the road welcoming him. And each want to take him. But he did not go with neither. He told them, my camel, Al-Qaswa, will go and drive me to the place where I should be living. And it did. It did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, at that stage, when he was coming in, both tribe were singing, both of them, and they were singing for him something beautiful. طلع البدر علينا. Okay, طلع البدر علينا. The moon, okay, has risen above us. Who is the moon? Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because they realize he is a man who is coming, who has no aim to do anything for himself, but he wanted goodness. All right, I'm going to allow my brother to sing for you because they wanted him to sing طلع البدر علينا. Please. Because it would be nice to hear that. Then I'll continue, inshallah.
JazakAllah.
Ameen.
طلع البدر علينا من ثاني
This is the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was welcomed. May Allah bless you. You have a nice voice, my brother. I wish I could take you back with me to London. I like singing. Some Muslim says singing is haram. Singing halal for me. If you sing and dance naked and sing and get drunk and then go out and destroy the community and beat the old people and steal and pickpocket, then it's haram. But to enjoy yourself, is this haram? Alhamdulillah. Now, he was welcomed into Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those tribe came to him, and the first message she gave to them, you are not good to yourself unless you leave a legacy behind you for your children to come. And they asked, oh messenger of God, what would you like to do? He said, you should unite rather than fight. Compensate one another for what you have lost. And they did. And rather than becoming al-Aws wal-Khazraj, became the Ansar. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 10 years teaching them. And a lot of people blame the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or his community at that time for raging war. And I challenge any man or any woman to tell me the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his home to fight anybody. Never. He was always fought around Medina and in Medina itself. He escaped from them. He ran away from them. Yet he was the most courageous man. Not a coward. But he was telling everybody, you don't have to stand and fight when you're going to be killed. What for? What benefit is that? Especially the poor people. So there, he united them. He taught them. He made them understand life is important. Allah Almighty God taught him in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Indeed, Allah commands justice. The whole world in turmoil today because there is no justice. There is no justice. Look at what the bankers are doing to us. They are losing everything instead of getting the sack, they're getting bonuses. Big bonuses. What kind of world is this? You employ somebody in your house, you pay them according to their deeds. Are these politicians employed by us or they employ us? We employ them, we elect them, we pay them from our money. But then they tell us where to go. What kind of world is this? This is not justice. Seriously, let us be honest. Take the world in the right way. Don't hide it. But do it in the right way. The way of the peaceful one, Allah Almighty God. No prophet was sent to rage war. He was sent to teach. Imagine in this university, you are learning knowledge coming from all corners of the world. If the lecturers are teaching you how to combat, how to fight one another, then the Turkish will be fighting the Iraqis, and the Iraqis will be fighting the Syrian, and the Pakistanis fighting the Bengalis. There will not be any teaching here. There is no fighting, no argument. لا جدال في الدين. You need to live in peace and dignity. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them the best. The first battle he fought called Badr. It's well outside Medina. He was protecting himself. Second one called Uhud. They came in droves and they tried to destroy him. They couldn't. The third one called a ditch. Okay? He had to dig a ditch around Medina to protect himself. And every time he fought hard to protect himself. And I tell you one thing. And I challenge any man that he ever instructed anybody to go out and kill anybody. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in defense, he used to tell his companions, if anybody, while you are fighting them, throw away his weapon, don't fight them. If they turn their back and run away, leave them. Don't chase them. If they give up, give them peace. Allow them. If they don't want to fight them, if they are old, they are a woman, they are a child, they are sick, don't fight them. And if you enter into the place where they are, don't destroy their property. Don't destroy their belongings. Don't cut a tree that gives shade or a tree that gives fruit. Never sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any other prophet fought only for these things. They will never come to destroy because they came to teach. Who God is? God didn't create us to destroy one another. But unfortunately, there will be people always. Yesterday there were a Hitler, there will be another Hitler. There will always be. Because we are humans. And in us, there is something evil. أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكْ نَفْسَكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَكَ. The most evilest of your enemy, your own self, that is between your two sides. Somebody came to me once, said to me, Sheikh, you are absolutely right. Don't you feel when you sit standing underground, it's packed in the morning, like next to a circus, or Trafalgar, and the train is coming, you want to push somebody? I said, no, I don't feel that. I don't feel like that. You are trying to prove to me, yes, yeah, that evil is there. Not everybody feels like killing somebody. Anyway, this is happening. This is happening all the time. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam united people, taught them, educated them, gave them the message to go around the world to spread this beautiful message. Not one single man who left Arabia to go anywhere to spread this message has to force the people. I have been living in this country for the last 31 years. I had never received any trouble from the land of these people or the people of this land. Yet there are Muslims who stand up and insult the queen, insult the royal family. What did they do to us? I welcome you to my house. I give you shelter. I give you food. And then you insult me? What kind of human you are? Any Muslim who does that doesn't understand. Any non-Muslim who does that doesn't understand. You're a guest. But in the meantime, I have seen a lot of people from this community becoming Muslims. And believe me, some of them are scholars today. All of them, they came to Islam by their own free choice. I had never taken a sword and said, excuse me, either you become Muslim and I'm going to deal with you. I am the grandson of my parents. You see? No, we don't do these things. This is nonsense. This is people putting things from their mind, trying to create havoc on the earth. Nothing like that. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cared for the human beings. Cared for them. Why shouldn't he care when he brought them the message that made them come and live together? Nothing else. Let me tell you some of the beautiful things that he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he arrived back after 10 years in Mecca, he decided to go back to Mecca. This time he came with 10,000 men and women to enter, not to do anything, just to make the pilgrimage and go back. He camped outside. He sent his envoy inside to the people of Mecca. O leaders of Mecca, I have left you for a long time. You came 3 times to fight me. But still, I am here with my people. I'm just coming back to my home. I'm coming to the house of God. perform my pilgrimage. Either you allow me in, or I'm going to fight my way in. They came, they negotiated, they made a peace pact, and then everything was allowed. He entered. What did he do? Like today, when the soldiers enter a city, they destroy it. Even today, they enter, they rape women. They kill the children. And they go out and destroy property. They steal things. Look at Baghdad when it was, the soldiers entered. What did they do? They looted everything. Every city is looted when the soldiers entered. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered with his army, said, nothing should be said. They all went to the Kaaba, the house of God. And his head was down to the saddle of his camel. And when he arrived there, he thanked God for his support, that he came back in peace. All the people of Mecca ran and hid. Like the Mexican, when they used to see the cowboys. And they stand behind their tent and look, what are they going to do? Because they just used to shoot. The same thing. They didn't do anything like that, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor his people. Then they came to him. He asked them a question. What do you think I'm going to do with you? ماذا تظنون أني فعل بكم؟ قالوا أخو ابن أخ كريم. They said, you are a brother, a son of a good, noble brother. He didn't say, well, I want to make a court. I want to bring those people who have done a lot of damage to my people at the beginning, and I'm going to take justice, I'm going to take revenge. No, no, no. He would never do that. He said, go, you are free. اذهبوا فأنتم الطلغاء. You know what they did? They all went and came back and became Muslims. Even those who did evil to him, they sent messengers. Oh, messenger of God, we have done a lot of evil, but we are frightened. If we come to you, we will do something. He said, come. When they came, what did you do? One of them said, I killed your uncle Hamza. He didn't say to him, well, you need to go for court and you need to be judged and you need to go to prison. He didn't have a prison. You know what he used to do when he captured people? He used to divide them in the houses of his companions. And he will ask them first, what knowledge do you have? I'm a carpenter. Please teach some of my companion your knowledge and then you can go free. He used to use people and benefit from them rather than imprisoning them. I was in a prison 3 or 4 days ago in one of the biggest prisons in London, and the prisoners are just sitting there. What are they doing? What a waste. They could use them to benefit the people. There is too much damage outside. I wish they could take them out and give them jobs to work, help clean the street, do whatever. But I don't know. It's the way they think. But he used to think differently. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never in his life mistreated anybody. He was walking one day in the street of Mecca and saw a man beating his camel in a pen that he built. And everybody was watching. And when this is us, oh, what a terrible camel. What an evil, look at it. Oh my God, look at the way. And he was watching them and thinking, how horrible they are. This is an animal that they use to carry their things and carry themselves. What is this? So he just walked and walked toward them. He pushed the gate to enter. Everyone said, no. He said, why are you coming? Gonna kill you. He didn't listen to them. He walked in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the camel, when he saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, put his head down and then kneeled. You know, camels cry. And the camel started crying. His tears were running. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and was massaging his neck. People were shocked. And then he turned to the man and said to him, this is your camel? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Why are you beating it? He said, it doesn't carry anymore. It's becoming lazy. He said, do you know something? It just talked to me and said, O Muhammad, O Messenger of God, O Seal of Prophets, all you who have been sent as mercy to the world, I'm a part of this world. This man feed me little, but yet want me to carry a lot. Look at us. We put too little petrol in the car, and we carry too many people inside. And when it is broken, we blame the car. How sad. We don't have brains. The Prophet said to him, my brother, it's not the camel that is to be blamed, it is you. But the nicest thing to me is one day he was walking in the desert. And while he's walking, he fell in a trap. A hunter put there a net. And then he found on the net a ghazal. That gazelle is crying. And immediately she recognized him, because animal recognized Prophet. She said to him, O Prophet of God, O mercy to the world, please free me. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to her, how could I free you when God has created you as food for the human? This man has put his net to capture you. He wants you to sell you, to get money to feed his family, or to use you to feed his family. She said, O God, O Prophet of God, I know I was created for that purpose. But I have little ones. that I left behind. I came to graze and have milk and go and give them this milk. And my heart is broken inside. If I don't go to them, they might die. Can you please help me? Do something for me. He said to her in one condition. I will remain in this net. And if you don't come back, I will give my life to this man to do whatever he wants to do with me. He can sell me as a slave. She said yes, and I'll come back. Muhammad Sassan tied himself and sat on the net. And the gazelle went. The man came back, the hunter. He was so pleased to see something in his net. When he approached, oh my God, a man is there. Oh, I am sorry, I didn't put it to do this. I am really sorry, he didn't know who is this man. Muhammad Sassan said to him, no, you shouldn't be sorry. I am your prey. You have captured me. What? Are you all right? Are you crazy? No, you have captured me. He told him the story. The man couldn't believe it and started fighting him. How could you release my prey? I wanted it. I don't have anything. I can't feed my children. And the man is genuine. He said, it will come back. But I promise you, if it does not come back, you can take me and you can sell me and take the money and use it. I'm giving you the right to do whatever you want to do with me, as I promised the ghazal. And the man was thinking, this man is crazy. He was thinking how to find a way to run away from him. When did you say this? Ghazal said, before the sun will set, it will come back. And the man was sitting to see, is he genuine or then run away from him? And suddenly, for his surprise, the ghazal came. And in front of the Prophet ﷺ, he stood and kneeled and put his head down and cried and said, I thank you, Prophet of God. For indeed, you are the Prophet of God. For no one will do this to any creature, only a man who has sent at the mercy of God. I thank you, for I have seen my little one and gave them milk. I have done my duty. Now he can take me and you can go free. The Prophet said, now you can take your ghazal. He said, I'm not taking that which he speaks. What is this? How am I going to eat it? How am I going to swallow it? But I tell you one thing, O Messenger of God, if there is anything that I have now, faith in God. For your sign is a sign of genuineness, kindness, truthfulness, and indeed a trust in the one who has created us. I do turn to the one, and I witness there is none worthy to be worshipped but him, and indeed you are the messenger of God. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went back one day, he was looking at the companion, going around, turning around, and they were playing with the nest they bought, and the little chicks playing with them. And there is a bear on top, flying, crying. He came angrily. What are you doing? And he never used to be angry for himself. You could push him, you could shove him, he would never get angry. Today, with the young kids, if you look at them, why are you staring at me? Why are you looking at me? How did you know I was staring at you? But you are looking at me. He would never do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he comes in, ruddu alayha sigara, ruddu alayha sigara. Retain it, his little one to it. What is it, Ya Rasulullah? I said, look at that mother. She's crying, but you don't understand. Imagine you have a child and they take it from you and play with it. That's what we do. We shouldn't do that. In fact, even tell my children at school, when you pass a tree, don't just cut the leaves like that. Can't somebody pull your finger and cut it off? It's a creature. Leave it alone. You don't have to do that. You don't understand how it feels or not feels. They are feeling these things. So Rasulullah said, retain the little one. And he turned to them and said, do you know these things have feelings? Show them mercy. Even the animals, the Rasulullah said, even the animals. Even the animals. We need to look after one another and care for one another and care for everybody. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not any man like me and you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a fine man, a man with a character that God has prayed in the Holy Quran by saying to him, indeed, Muhammad, you have the best of characters. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلْغٍ عَظِيمٍ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have raised the mention of your name. Whenever we say Allah, we say Muhammad. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. I want to finish here and I want you to repeat with me. Those who can repeat with me. Because it is very, very important to repeat those words. Really, if you really want to clean yourself, you want to feel energetic, repeat. The chanting of these things, people think, what for? It's good for you. Good for your mind, good for your spirit, and definitely good for your body. I always sit with my kids in the school and I repeat things. And believe me, many times, if they are depressed, they feel happier. If they were not able to speak, they begin to speak. If they were not smiling, they will smile. Okay? So let us repeat together. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طب شاي محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 There is none worthy to be worshipped but God. There is none worthy but what we are saying. There is none worthy to be worshipped but God. Whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, you have to realize you come from somewhere. I'm sure for myself, no human has created me. No thing that I can control created me. Definitely I come from somewhere. And that is beyond my imagination and dream. The Creator Almighty, neither my eyes nor my ear can see or hear. He is beyond that. He is one, he is unique, he has no children, and he was not born. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ Please take my message by going out of here realizing we are created beings. Once we are created, there must be a creator. When we look at the piece of art in the museum, the first thing we ask, who has drawn this piece? We don't say, how did it come about? Did it create itself? Somebody would think I'm mad if I said, well, mashallah, it's not by Van Gogh, it did it itself. Did Mona Lisa come by itself? Come on. This beautiful world comes out of the creation of God. This university has managers sitting on top, planning everything. Nothing comes out of nothing. It comes out of good planning. The world is planned. I had never woken up in the one morning and I heard an announcement from the heaven. Listen, the people of the earth, today the sun is not coming out. Engineers are working. But every day I go to the train station, the train is late. Man is behind it. May Allah bless you, grant you peace, give you security. I'm going to allow the people to sing for you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that which will make us humans. Please, don't look at your brother or your sister, judge them by their appearance. And this, I will say clearly, some of us from the young people now who are not married, soon they will go to ma'am and say, ma'am, I found my better half, my sweetheart, my sugar lump, my this and that. I want to get married. Are you sure? This is the biggest step. When you are buying a car, you need an AA man to check it. When you are buying a house, you need a surveyor to survey it. You need a lawyer to make the contract. Are you, this is your life. Don't give away. No, I'm certain. I'm in love. 6 months down the road, come down home. Dad asks, what's wrong with you? Oh, I hate this life. Mom will say, what's wrong with you, son? Darling, I hate that woman. But you love her. I didn't know her. I don't understand her. Where does she come from? She doesn't respect me. I don't trust her. Nonsense. Don't be naive. Don't look at the shape. Can you imagine we go outside, look at a beautiful house? Oh, lovely, I'm buying this house. Get to know the person. Get to understand the person. Get to trust the person. Get to respect the person. Get to work hard to learn the spirit inside. We are spiritual beings. We are not animals. We are humans. Jazakumullah khair. Shukran.